I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Job 23 and verse 12. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow by it. 1 Peter 2:2. God says, take time to nourish your soul from my word. That man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Job said, I desire your word more than my necessary food. And Peter said, as babes desire the sincere milk of the word, so that you may grow.
Welcome to the Anchored in Jesus radio program, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder and dean of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We will hear the conclusion of Take In and Give Out or Dry Up, which is part four of our series titled Spiritual Lessons from Biblical Places. So let's rejoin Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of part one of Take In and Give Out or Dry Up.
God says, take time to nourish your soul from my word. That man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Job said, I desire your word more than my necessary food. And Peter said, as babes desire the sincere milk of the word, so that you may grow thereby. God has given us a resource to replenish our empty tanks, and that we don't have to ride around on E. And some folk not even riding around on E, they're riding around on fumes. And you don't have to ride around on fumes. You can refill your tank. Look at Psalm 1. Psalm 1. Psalm 1, blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Look at this. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. But that's not the end, because verse 3 puts the nail on. Hits the nail on the head. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth fruit in its season. Its leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Whenever I'm in the word, I'm sinking my roots in. When I get in the word, I'm sinking my roots in. And so now I'm meditating on the word. I'm reading the word. And while I'm reading the word, what am I doing? I'm drawing in the water. I'm just like the tree planted by the water. And I'm soaking up the nourishment. I'm soaking up the energy. I'm soaking up what I need to do what? Watch this now. I'm soaking it up so that I can, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that my leaf won't wither, but I'll stand strong. And I'll do what? I'll bring forth fruit. And the problem with God's people is that we're not soaking in the word. We're not like that tree planted by the water. So, we're walking all wilted and withered. Oh, woe is me. I got one problem after another. The devil was on me. The devil was after me. Oh, and we walk around withered and wilted and fruitless. But if we will be like the tree and soak our roots in the word of God, he'll help us to stand up tall and stand up strong. And so we become a Sea of Galilee. Why? Because what are we doing? We're taking in. Now, the problem is, when we don't do this, there's two realities that happen in our lives. And I'm going to give you these two, and I'm done. There's two things that happen in our life. One, we become powerless. And two, we become polluted. That when we are not soaking in the Word of God, when we are not nourishing our soul and our spirit, when we are not filling our tank in the Word of God, we become powerless and we become polluted. I read a wonderful story that John MacArthur gave. Let me share this story with you. He wrote about this guy. He said, I remember enjoying the observation of a perceptive man who was gazing at a beautiful garden. First, he saw a butterfly flitting from flower to flower. It spent a few seconds on the edge of each, but derived no particular benefit from any of them. Next, he saw a botanist with his large notebook and microscope in hand. As the botanist carefully observed each flower and plant, he made copious entries in his book. But after hours of meticulous study, most of what he learned was shut up in the book. Very little remained in his mind. Then there came the bee. When it entered the flower, it emerged laden with pollen. With pollen. The bee emerged in pollen. It had left the hive that morning empty, but it would return full. John MacArthur says, when it comes to Bible study, some people are like butterflies, going from one favorite verse to another, one seminar to another, one book to another. They're very busy and expend much energy, but have little to show for their efforts. They remain unchanged in any significant way because they never really delve into the Word wholeheartedly. They simply are content to flutter around the edges. Others, like the botanist, may study in great depth but never apply it to their lives. I know of entire commentaries written by unbelievers. In some cases, their grasp of Scripture is exceptional, but they know nothing of true love for God and obedience to biblical truth. What a tragedy. But you don't have to be a biblical scholar to make that mistake. You need only to fail to apply what you learn to your life. MacArthur concludes, rather, we should strive to be like the bee, spending time in the Word, reading, studying, taking notes, then emerging fuller than when you began. Your mind will be filled with wisdom and biblical insights. Your life will be sweeter and purer because the Word has done its work. Are you a butterfly, a botanist, or a bee? Would to God that all of us would be bees. Oh, man, the Holy Spirit just hit my heart when I was reading that. And it talked about the bee and how that the bee goes down into the flower and emerges covered with pollen. Covered with pollen. And then goes back because it's been filled. And I began to think about that. And I asked the question, how can we be like the bee? How can we be like the bee? If you put that slide up there, how can we be like the bee? How to be a bee? First of all, you got to receive the Word. You come here. That's why, you know, unless it was an absolute emergency or I was on my deathbed, if I was a member of a church somewhere where I didn't have to preach, I'd be there. I'd be there just about every Sunday I could be there. Because I would want to hear the Word of God. I would realize that, man, the man of God has something to say that's going to fill my tank. And even, you know what? See, sometimes... You know, people get gas. I don't know about you, but you might just get gas just to go get gas so you have it, right? Because you know eventually what's going to happen. Your tank is going to run low. So, you know, you might say, well, you know, I'm feeling particularly good today. You know, I don't necessarily need to go to the gas station. But you know what? Let me go on to the gas station, put a little gas in my tank, because, you know, that way I'll just have it there and it'll save me from in the future when I have to go. See, you know, you need to be, and you know, I'm going to say this. Now, I know I'm going to get in trouble and I know I'm going to get booed. But I saw somebody sent me some information last week. Here I go. And I said, man, you was all right, Pastor Glaze, as long as you was preaching, now you didn't stop. That there's people texting during church. Wow. Let me let that go. So you want to hear the word. You Romans 10:17. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by. So you got to put yourself in places. Again, I don't understand, you know, why somebody would say, I don't need to go to the house of the Lord. You know, I would be in the house of the Lord every, you know what? When I'm on vacation, you know what I do? Sunday morning, when I get up after I have my devotions, I go on the internet and I look for a couple churches that I might want to visit, and I go to their website and I look at, you know, what time their services start, because I plan on going to church. Even if I'm on vacation, I go to church because I want to hear the word of God. You know, I stand up here. You know, one thing I love, I'm giving away all my secrets today, right? I mean, I don't like it when people pass away. I really don't. But when I can go to a funeral that I don't have to preach, because you know what that is for me? I might be there to, you know, to show presence and comfort the people that are grieving, and I'm there for that. That's the first and foremost reason. But you know the second reason I'm there? Because I get a chance to hear the word. I get a chance to get fed the word of God. Because I have a desire to hear God's word. I need my soul replenished. And that's one of the things about being a pastor, is that, you know, you stand up in the pulpit every Sunday and you preach. And who preaches to the preacher? Hear the word of God. Read the word of God. You ought to be in the word of God on a regular basis. You ought to be reading through the word of God. And you know, again, If you have difficulties, and I realize that some translations are harder to understand than others, but you know what? Give me a call. I'll help you. Because, you know, my life, I'm committed to help people learn the word of God. That's why we got a Bible Institute. That's the main reason we got a Bible Institute, is to help people understand and apply the word of God. Read the word of God. Research the word of God. Study it. Study to show yourself approved. Now, I'm going to say this. I think everybody, or, as we say in Homewood, everybody ought to be in somebody's Bible study. Everybody, whether it's a Sunday school class or Wednesday night, a Bible Institute class, you ought to be in somebody's Bible study somewhere, studying the Word of God. Well, I can study the Bible on my own. Yeah, you can. But why did God give us prophets and teachers and evangelists? He gave it so that they could understand the word and be able to break it down and help you understand it. You ought to recite. You ought to memorize the word of God. I did a whole lesson last week during life class just dealing with memorizing the word. And I talked about how do you memorize? Why do you memorize? I gave techniques for people how to memorize verses from the word of God. We showed you how to do it. And you know what? We need to, you know, again, you know, I use the excuse, well, you know, I'm getting old. Mine's getting old. The old gray mare just ain't what she used to be, right? But you know what? I just, and the way I broke it down, and I was already memorizing Hebrews chapter 11 before I did that. But then when I broke it down, God began to convict me and said, man, you know what? You need to start memorizing more. And so I started memorizing another. I started memorizing Psalm 51 this past week. So, you know, we need to memorize the word of God. The psalmist said, thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereunto according to thy word. Memorize the word. Reflect on the word. Psalm 1, and he shall be like, let me back up a verse where it talks about, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate. The word meditate, ruminate, talks about the cow chewing on its cud, swallowing it, bringing back up, chewing it, getting the nourishment and getting all the vitamins out of it, chewing it and swallowing it and spitting it back up. Meditating on the word, soaking, getting all that you can out of the word. And then you ought to reproduce the word. That means you do it. That you go and you do the word. How can we be a bee? Receive, read, research, recite, reflect, and reproduce. If we do that, man, I'll tell you what, we'll be soaking in. We'll be like the Sea of Galilee, right? We'll be taking in from there. We'll be taking in from the Jordan. We'll have about 6 or 7 underground springs that's feeding us. We'll be like that bee. Now let me get to the two problems, and I'll be done. Two problems that we have when we don't replenish. Two problems that we have when we don't take in. The first problem is powerlessness. Turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 10. Ecclesiastes chapter 10. The first problem is powerlessness. Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse 10. If the iron be dull or blunt, and he does not sharpen it, or he does not whet the edge, then he must put forth more strength. But wisdom is profitable to direct. Solomon says here that if we don't sharpen the axe, and we still go out and continue to work and try to cut down trees, that we have to put forth more strength. I've told the story about the lumberjack, the young guy. He just started working in the forest, and he was a big strapping dude, and he had his axe, and the foreman liked the way that he worked, and the foreman praised him for the job that he did, just going out cutting down trees. But as time went on, he was less and less productive, and eventually he fell below his quota, and the foreman had to let him go. He went to a more seasoned and experienced lumberjack and asked him the question, why did this happen? Why did that happen? Why did I produce less as I went along? He said, I was working harder and I was trying to do more. And the lumberjack said, did you ever take time to sharpen your saw? And he said, I was too busy cutting down trees. Maybe you've been too busy cutting down trees. You've been too busy going and going and going, and you haven't taken time to sharpen your axe. And you're running on empty. And you're sitting there, and you realize that in your family, and you realize that, you know, it's just like, I've been watching my granddaughter this week. My wife, she went to New Mexico, and my wife babysits my granddaughter every evening. She's 4 years old, right? And so I leave here, you know, I go home, and my daughter drops off my granddaughter. And I remember one day, man, I was just tired. And both my granddaughters came over. And my other granddaughter, she's 10. I said, look, I said, can you guys let Pop take a nap for just a minute? I said, you know, you let Pop take a nap, and we'll throw down. You know, we'll do something. So we took a nap, man, and, you know, I took them to the park, and we went here and we went there. But I had to, you know, I just had to get a little strength, right? I had to get refreshed. Then my grandson, his birthday was on Tuesday, and I worked all day, and I had to watch my granddaughter, and I took them both. This was a big mistake. I took them both to Chuck E. Cheese. I said, look, here go the tokens. Can y'all just let Pop sit over here for a second? I said, here go some tokens, man. Y'all let Pop sit here for a second. Right? Sometimes, man, you keep going, and you just don't have any, you don't have anything to give anybody. And you don't have any power, and you just have to go somewhere and just get your strength, get your power back. Powerlessness. And then we see that if you continue to run on empty, you'll become polluted. Look at Luke chapter 10. If you continue to run on empty, you'll become polluted. Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about with much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she come help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. You know what Jesus was telling her? He was saying, Martha, Martha, both of your tanks are empty, and Mary has chosen to come and get her tank filled. But you continue to go on, running on empty. And if you look at the notes, look how polluted Martha became. Look how polluted she became. First of all, she was distracted. It says Martha was distracted with much serving. Secondly, she was defiant. Lord, do you not care? Third, she was disapproving. My sister has left me alone. She became deflated to serve all by myself. And she became demanding. Therefore, tell her to help me. See, when you're running on empty, you go into panic mode. When you run into empty, you become defiant. Well, I got to make this happen. When you're running on empty, somebody help me. I can't do this all by myself. You see what's happening to her? She's running on empty, and she does an incredible Hulk transformation. Calm, nice Martha, who is gentle, all of a sudden becomes this different person. Why? Because she's running on empty. And when you run on empty, you got to make up for the deficits that's in your gas tank. Sometimes you make up for the deficits by coming distracted, by coming defiant, by becoming disapproving, by becoming deflated, or even becoming demanding when you're running on empty. As I close today, I heard a story about this pastor who was on the edge of burnout. And he said he had a dream. And he said in his dream, he was going down the street on this big ball. And this ball was rolling down the street. And he was doing everything he could just to stay on top of the ball. And his members, he said, were along the side of the highway. And they were saying, steer it, pastor. Steer it. Steer it, pastor. Steer it. And he said, steer it. I'm having a hard enough time just staying on it. And I wonder how many people are here today. You're running on the ball. And your family's telling you to steer it. The people on the job are telling you to steer it. The ministry that you're in is telling you to steer it. But in your mind, you know, I'm just trying to stay on top of the ball. If that's where you are today, maybe it's because you're not taken in. You're not like the Sea of Galilee. You're not taken in from the Jordan River. You're not taken in from those underground springs. You know you can't steer because you're too busy just trying to stay on.
Thank you for joining us on the Anchored in Jesus radio program. We hope you were encouraged. Tune in next time for the first half of part two of Take In and Give Out or Dry Up. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes and outline of tonight's teaching of Take In and Give Out or Dry Up, you can contact us here at the Anchored in Jesus radio program by calling 877-831-5060 and request part one of Take In and Give Out or Dry Up, or program number 110717. Again, that's 877-831-5060. 5060 and request part one of Take In and Give Out or Dry Up, or program number 110717. If you would like to make a financial contribution to the program, you can send it to the Anchored in Jesus radio program, 7745 Tioga Street, Pittsburgh, PA 15208. That's the Anchored in Jesus radio program, 7745 Tioga Street, Pittsburgh, PA 15208. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, is taken from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.